think that means we're up and running, and I think, Lord knows, of course, as soon as we start going, we start to lose it. That's not horrible, though. Let's reset it now that we're live and see how those frames drop. We're overclocking the GPU today. We are... Looks like that's helping a lot, but we're also not being super memory intensive at the moment. Streaming Joe Bob, that you cannot hear because copyright and things. But it is a Joe Bob night, so if you are tuning in, thank you very much for tuning in. Because there's definitely a lot of other things you could be watching right now. Joe Bob, Last Drive-In on Shudder. Tim Pool, I'm sure, is doing his Friday night show. There's all kinds of live stuff right now. And, yeah, I know most of you are watching this or listening to this in post. So I appreciate you as well, probably more so, because you can go back and well, I take that back, not more so. It's more involved when you join the live conversation, because then we can go into certain news pieces that you guys want to talk about. All of that being said, let's get into today's live news portion. This evening... Oh, no. Now we're getting red lights. What's going on with the red lights? Says I have an excellent connection. Okay, fine. Anyway, this evening, once we get into the gaming stuff, we are making headway on our lockout map on Splitgate. So, Halo fans, I am building one of the most remade Halo multiplayer maps in Splitgate multiplayer, and then hopefully I'm hoping that eventually we can get community involvement and we can play some matches on my Splitgate lockout map. Either way, I'm burying the lead. We're in the news side of things, so let's jump right into it. So we have official cancellation for Batwoman to kick things off. I thought this was already official, but let's get into the article. So, showrunner Caroline Dries announced the news on Twitter, which follows Batwoman's disastrous ratings. Batwoman has been officially canceled at the CW following three seasons and a social media campaign to bring... Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot that they were holding out hope for that social media campaign, because that was going to happen. Social media campaign failed. Nobody wants to pick this thing up. There is a quote from Dries, and it is, quote, "Just got the sad news that Batwoman will not be seeing season four. Silly. I am bummed, but full of gratitude. What an honor to make 51 episodes. So many inspiring, brilliant people contributed to the series. Thank you, producers, cast, and crew. Thank you, fans. We love you," said Dries Friday. Not a surprise, because it has been absolutely atrocious in the ratings, as is most of the current Arrowverse shows. So... probably next on the chopping block is did Legends of Tomorrow already officially get canceled? I can't remember. I get those all those shows kind of mesh into one giant thing in my head. Marvel's release date delayed. Oh, these delays are affecting the MCU proper now, apparently. So, it is learned that The Marvels has been delayed as it swaps release dates with Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which as a result sees its release date pushed up. Ant-Man: Quantumania will now be released February 17th, 23. Captain Marvel 2, aka The Marvels, will be getting released 5 months later in July on the 28th of 2023. According to Deadline, the reason for the swap has nothing to do with the problems surrounding either of the films. It's just that Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania is further along in the production process. Both films are finished filming, so it sounds like it has something to do with post-production visual effects or maybe even reshoots. Yeah, I would say it's probably a combination of those two things, because with the shakeups going on the Sony side of things, I would imagine story-wise there's got to be some sort of reshoots as well, because they have to make sense of that whole vulture thing at the end of Morbius, because that comes out of left field. That's not really how that the spell worked from Doctor Strange. Anyway, Brie Larson is also currently filming Fast and Furious X, or 10, if you will, which has a host of problems on its own. Ooh, we're probably going to get into that. Regarding the competition, there isn't much, as Ant-Man 3 doesn't have to worry about anything until Dungeons & Dragons comes out in March 3rd. And the Marvels has Margot Robbie's Barbie movie, which we announced when it went into production, and they're further along in production. There's all kinds of production stills these days, but we're not. That's about as much as we need to cover Barbie. James Gunn and John Cena's Coyote versus Acme and Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer coming out a week prior. Oh, and TMNT a week after, and Blue Beetle 2 weeks after. So are they trying to, I don't know if that's a flex or if that's a bury. Are they trying to bury Brie Larson's? Oh, that's interesting, because that is a whole lot of big coming out. The week before the Marvels, you have Barbie, Coyote versus Acme, which is James Gunn and John Cena, Christopher Nolan movie, Oppenheimer, World War II movie, and the week after you have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot animated movie, as well as Blue Beetle 2 weeks after. So that is some heavy, heavy hitters that month right there. I think they might be trying to bury Marvel's the Marvels. Also been learned that Kevin Feige has started to work on the next 10 years of the MCU. Release date schedule below. Oh, sweet. So far we have currently for the MCU. Doctor Strange, May 6th. We knew that of 22. So that's next week. Thor, July 6th of this year. Black Panther, November 11th. Ant-Man, February 17th. Guardians Volume 3, May 5th of next year. The Marvels, July 28th. Fantastic Four has been confirmed. No release date yet. Deadpool 3 has been confirmed. No release date yet. And Captain America 4. So nothing beyond 23 just yet. But we will probably be getting much more of those updates in the coming weeks and months if Feige is officially working on that plan. So that's cool. Amber Heard has less than 10 minutes of Aquaman 2 screen time. Okay, don't care. Expendables 4, CinemaCon footage. Ooh, we got some footage from CinemaCon? And a John Wick 4 trailer, which we'll get to apparently. Lionsgate has debuted footage for the Expendables 4 featuring Sylvester Stallone, which was introduced by Curtis Jackson, a.k.a. 50 Cent. The title of the movie also apparently revealed to be Expend4bles. 50 Cent appeared in a video message and introduced the sizzle reel feature. Is there no link to it? We don't get an actual... Let me check out images, apparently. Let's do that. Expend4bles. Open link in new tab. Open new tab. Get there faster, computer. I believe in you. Oh, that's not bad. It's super blurry, but and it's a GIF, so. One of the top comments, good. I would expect a man who names the Expend4bles to have a testicular fortitude to follow through with that choice. That's funny. Okay. So there's production stills of Sylvester Stallone. That's from Expendables 3, I think. Sylvester Stallone. No, it says Expendables 4. Yeah, Jason Statham. There's the name I was looking for. More Stallone on a motorcycle. Stallone and Statham going through the script. Dolph and Stallone just hanging out, apparently. I don't know who the little Asian dude is. Is that the... Oh, that's the... what's his name from... Oh, why did I just brain fart that movie? What's the really great martial arts movie that came out? There's like, yeah, Ong Bak. That's Ong Bak. So Statham and Ong Bak, and Statham and Ong Bak, and 50 Cent holding an AK, 50 Cent on a tank. Hey man, he's slimmed up for the movie. That's good, because he had packed it on for the Super Bowl performance. That was kind of a joke. This is from THR and Collider, both covering this. Keanu Reeves kills them all in John Wick 4 trailer at CinemaCon. So we don't have the actual trailers, have not been released to the public yet. They were only shown at CinemaCon at this point. We have a giant standee. That's pretty huge. Nothing of note. All right, so going back, let's get something a little more tangible. Spider-Man No Way Home National Superhero Day trailer is awesome. Watch the trailer for Mike Myers' Illuminati. Oh, the Pentaveret. There is a new trailer for the Pentaveret. Again, we're not watching trailers on the live stream because I like staying live, actually. Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness comes to Marvel's Future Fight, new uniform content and more. And that's comic book stuff, so we can get into it a little bit. I'm super not as interested in this though, because we already know this is happening. So it's not exactly news, this is just images. Ahead of next week's release of Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, Netmarble releases a new update of their blockbuster mobile RPG. Oh, it's gaming. It's not a future. I thought Future Fight was a comic book arc that's going on. Either way, with new uniforms, content, and improvements themed after the highly anticipated film from Marvel Studios. Starting today, players can obtain all new uniforms inspired by Marvel Studios' Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness for Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch, Wong, and America Chavez. New update gives players the opportunity to advance Wong to Tier 3 as well. Watch the footage below again. Trailers not happening in the live stream. Let's see if we can get some images, though. Yeah, kind of. That they look like their movie versions a bit more. Frank Miller and Dan DiDio launch comic book. Here we go. That's super noteworthy because those are giant names. It's officially announced that Frank Miller and Dan DiDio are joining forces to launch their own independent comic book publishing company. Of course, Frank Miller is a legend in the comic book industry, known for creating various iconic Batman titles, including The Dark Knight Returns, Batman Year One, as well as Daredevil for Marvel, and his hugely successful indie series, Sin City. Dan DiDio, also well known as a comic book veteran, was at DC Comics for years and was recently co-publisher with Jim Lee before being let go. Yeah, that was a whole situation. Details on the new venture include the company will be called Frank Miller Presents, so FMP, with Frank Miller acting as president and editor-in-chief, with the goal of creating and curating a line of comics that hope to capture Miller's distinct visual style while also working with a range of talent from comics veterans to rising artists. So it sounds like it's all going to be Frank writing and then other people coming in to do art, which I really like Frank's art too, so I don't know how I feel about that. But Dan DiDio... is serving as publisher of FMP with Cylan Thomas as chief operating officer, who is also the CEO of Frank Miller Inc., Miller's brand and official website. So, picture of Frank Miller aiming to publish 2 to 4 comic book titles a year. Interesting. Aiming to publish 2 to 4 comic book titles a year, with Miller returning to Sin City with a Western tale set in the city's past. Oh, that's cool. So Sin City 1858 sounds like it's probably going to be one of the first books that they're putting out. Ronin Book 2. Ronin is one of the books that Eastman and Laird were kind of sort of mocking when they created the Ninja Turtles. So that's also pretty cool. Ronin Book 2 is also being published by FMP, which is a follow-up to the six-issue miniseries that was originally published by DC in 83 and 84 and focused on a Ronin reincarnated in a dystopic near-future New York City, a comic that showed off Miller's influences from manga and Franco-Belgian comics. Yeah, Ronin's a good one. Check it out. That's like a classic. You should totally read Ronin. Anyway, in addition, two new original works are being published titled Pandora and Ancient Enemies. And the specifics in regard to what Miller is doing and the creative teams have yet to be announced. Interesting. So then there's a quote, says, investing in artists and the future of comics has always been my one true passion and creative calling, Miller said in a statement. Dan, Silen, and I couldn't be more proud to be launching Frank Miller Presents, which will serve as fertile ground for storytellers and new creations. So it does sound like they're going to bring in other writers as well. Our focus for this publishing company is to cultivate fellowship of artists and writers to mentor, collaborate, and push forward not only each other, but the art form as well. Sweet. That sounds really awesome. Comics will hit stores and digital later this year. Quote, Frank has an incredible vision for this company, which further expands on his commitment to storytelling and characters that connect people around the world. This sounds like it could be the starting point for another Image Comics. So that's really cool. Image Comics, obviously, Todd McFarlane started back in the 90s after he left Marvel, I'm pretty sure it was. He did Marvel and DC work, but yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Marvel that he left and started Image, because he had just got done with Spider-Man, and that's why a lot of the Spawn artwork has a similar feel. Jurassic World Dominion unleashes a vicious Atrociraptor in new trailer with Chris Pratt, Chris Hemsworth, All Zen, and Thor Love and Thunder image. Kevin Feige planning the next 10 years. We've already gone over that. Andrew Garfield not returning as Super Bowl. Joe Bob is distracting me a little bit. All right, so Andrew Garfield not returning as Spider-Man. Apparently, with Spider-Man No Way Home such a huge success, it was hoped that Andrew Garfield would be back as the wall crawler in some form or another, but it isn't happening anytime soon. It's learned Andrew Garfield is going to take a break from acting following his Under the Banner of Heaven FX TV miniseries. Going to rest for a little bit, Garfield filled in Variety. I need to recalibrate and reconsider what I want to do next and who I want to be, and just be a bit of a person for a while. There we go. Whoa, I can read. Because as you know, that is a washing machine, that awards season. I need to be a bit ordinary for a while. That sounds like a very Hollywood thing to say, but whatever. There have been all kinds of rumors that Garfield will be back as Spider-Man in a third Amazing Spider-Man movie, as fans loved what they saw in No Way Home. Yes, they did. It was great. And there have been rumors and speculation Garfield could be reuniting with Tobey Maguire or even possibly show up in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness with Tom Holland, but another MCU appearance seems doubtful, and anything new with Sony seems even more doubtful. But why does it seem doubtful? Give me reasons, Cosmic Book. What's interesting about Morbius, and this is something directly related, is that it shares the same Sony producers that ruined the Amazing Spider-Man movies, and the same producers Kevin Feige is said to not get along with. So why would Andrew Garfield return to Sony for more headaches? That is a valid point. That makes sense. And then we get back into him talking about how horrible it was to work for them. Sony can't get Spider-Man right. I mean, they kind of can, because they just have to have Marvel holding their hand to get there. And then we talk about the El Muerte movie that's been announced. Of all the Spider-Man related characters, Sony decides to go with El Muerto. it goes to show how the people running Sony's Spidey stuff have absolutely no idea what they're doing, are completely incompetent. I would tend to agree with that statement, not gonna lie. Godzilla vs. Kong Warzone calling cards now available. Hey! The great, what's his name, Svengali? Yeah. That's cool. Great Svengali on Joe Bob. That's as cheesy as Svengali has ever been. He's totally reading it off of a cue card. comic books. Dale Keown bringing back Pitt with Phil Diaz. I like this. Oh, this is some very 90s influenced art. Let's see what this is. You got me, clickbait. You got me. Former Marvel and Incredible Hulk artist is bringing back his monstrous creation that was first published nearly 30 years ago. So that would explain why it looks like 90s art. Dale Keown has announced, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that right, so I'm just going to apologize up front. Announced he's bringing back Pitt along with Phil Diaz. While appearing in a YouTube stream, Dale Keown revealed the news, which was followed up by Diaz on Twitter. All that stuff is coming back in the new series, said Keown. I mean, I am working with Phil Diaz, working on a Pitt story, and he's reading all the issues. It's getting kind of meta. Phil has great ideas. Phil Diaz, this is to you, buddy. Diaz said on Twitter, last night, Dale Keown announced that I'll be writing the next Pitt series with him for the comeback, for the big comeback, sorry. This was on the DL for 8 months. It is such an amazing opportunity they could not have had without hashtag ComicsGate. That's cool. Sign up for our first work together. Pitt was created nearly 30 years ago, debuting. Let's get into some of this artwork, though. I can see Incredible Hulk for sure. Last issues were printed in 95. First issues in 93. Dale Keown is part of ComicsGate. Yep, you read that right. Dale Keown is part of ComicsGate, which you might have heard about and recognize from former DC Comics Green Lantern artist Ethan Van Siever. Skyver? I've only read his name. I don't know if I've ever heard it out loud, not going to lie. Who launched his creator-owned comic book with the brand Cyberfrog, which sold copies in the millions via crowdfunding campaigns and continues to do so. Much like Image Comics back in the day. Yeah, we have a lot of comic book creator-owned stuff, so that's pretty awesome. I really like the 90s era, like just the crazy, like that's more comic books to me. Superman movie. Progress is being made, confirms WB. Tanishi Coates version. Nobody's going to watch it, and we're not going to talk about it. Kite Man animated series greenlit. I thought we've already talked about this. I don't know how much this is news. This doesn't make any sense. From 2 days ago, HBO Max has ordered Noonan's to series. Oh, I guess it was just the pilot that we were talking about originally. Which is a new animated show featuring Kite Man and Golden Glider that spins off from the Harley Quinn animated series. It returns for its third season this summer, which will be great. If you have not watched the first two seasons of Harley Quinn, you probably should check it out. Ooh, I apologize for avoiding chat. So Christopher Ortiz says he's honestly worried for the TMNT movie. So it looks like he has left the chat, so my apologies. But we can address that either way. It'll be animated, so that's going to help. All right, sorry. Yeah, distracted. So yeah, it's going to be animated, which is definitely going to help a lot, because I feel like the last decent TMNT movie was the animated movie, the spiritual fourth of the trilogy, right? The third of the trilogy was hot garbage. They kind of brought it back to life a little bit with that animated movie, the TMNT movie from 2004, I want to say. You don't remember, do you? Yeah, something like that. 2004, 2003, 4, 5, somewhere in that neighborhood. But so I think that is kind of what actually needs to happen. I think if they were to try and do the live action reboot first, I think that would be under much more scrutiny because of how bad the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles were, that we need something that's going to be a little bit more true to the IP as we know it. I'm not going to say the comic books, because that definitely won't find its way into a movie probably ever. We won't get the original all red bandana turtles with all the blood and the violence. And
you think we will?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The murder turtles. Those guys are not going to get their own movie. That's just not going to happen. But the more recent comics that take the Fox Kids, the 90s cartoon, and the Nickelodeon cartoon, that kind of aesthetic, and the kid-friendly stuff that we kind of all grew up on, us millennials and younger Gen Xers. That's probably going to be more in line with what we're going to get. It is going to be Seth Rogen, so that is very potentially going to be a bit of an issue. But he is a younger Gen Xer, so the possibility exists that he comprehends the characters enough to give us something that is watchable, something that is not the Bay Turtles, because those Bay movies were just a train wreck from front to end, and it's just, I think that it's not going to be great. I don't think the animated reboot is going to be great by any means, but I do think that it is going to be watchable and it's going to be serviceable to the community. And that's all it really has to do to keep it alive. And then the live action reboot that we also know is somewhere in pre-production right now is going to be the big one that a lot of weight is going to rest on for that to be a great movie. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but I also don't know a whole lot about it because it's so early in production. So yes, agreed. And we're just going to 2007 rockin'. Thank you very much, Chris. There is definitely going to be I think it's going to be a palate wetter, to misuse a phrase. And then the live action is going to be the one that I think is going to be under still going to be under great scrutiny, but not as much scrutiny. Anyway, back to reading the news. Noonan's Bar patrons can blow off steam. Oh, we've already covered this. This is going to be continuing the a Harley Quinn style kind of Venture Brothers spiritual successor kind of stuff. And I think it's going to get even more episodic. It seems that that's going to be the way they're going, because they're going to introduce a bunch of different villains at Noonan's. So it's going to be more villain of the week kind of stuff rather than the Harley story arcing stuff, which is fun. You get that easy entertainment popcorn stuff, I think, is very much in line with what we need in something great and animated like that. So, back to looking for more news. Charles Soule confirms he serves as Star Wars creative consultant for Lucasfilm. That's not bad. Soule has done some good comic book work. Spotted a description for a Star Wars Celebration that states Soule works as a creative consultant for Lucasfilm. Guess this is getting out there. He says, quote, "Very excited about this new role. It's been a blast so far, and it's letting me do some really cool stuff in a galaxy far, far away. TLDR, I'm officially a creative, not the So not as cool as I thought initially, but officially a creative consultant for Lucasfilm. That's pretty awesome. Charles, they need somebody who's been in this, in the trenches. Charles Soule has done the comic books. I feel like he's even done some of the shorts, but my extended universe knowledge is fairly limited. But yes, I do believe he's contributed to more than just comic books. So we have more Star Wars stuff. Star Wars Mandalorian MMO video game rumored. Ooh, we got some rumor from Elder Scrolls developer? No. I don't buy it. So, rumors offer a Star Wars Mandalorian MMO video game is in development from studio behind popular Elder Scrolls game. Yeah, we'll read this and then we'll get into why I don't think this is... if it does happen, it's not going to be what everybody wants it to be. The rumor comes from what sounds to be legit sources, as one source backs up the other in regards to falling video game rumors such as Elder Scrolls 6, rather, sorry, Quake and Fallout. Regarding Star Wars Mandalorian MMO, it's claimed the game is in development at ZeniMax Online Studios, which developed Elder Scrolls, which is, I believe, one of the companies that Microsoft purchased when they purchased Bethesda and such. But I could be wrong there. My memory could be lying to me. Checking the company's website, ZeniMax Online Studios does tease kick-ass new projects, quote-unquote, and a new, quote, AAA IP. So maybe it's a Star Wars Mandalorian MMO game. And then it quotes the site specifically, so we don't got to get into that. But rumors below, we have PvPvE game in development, Roundhouse. Doesn't say what game. Hammerfell has a political system, betrayals, marriage, and factions over... Very interesting. Xbox shifting resources Bethesda with to assist Bethesda with massive workloads. Yes, they have quite a bit on their plate, not the least of which... and now I'm going to brain fart the damn... giant game that they're working on right now. So, the reason this is not going to be what everyone wants it to be, if this is the case, likelihood that we are actually going to see Mandalorian MMO, I would put that at about 50%, because I don't know who the Cosmic Book sources are. So I can't speak to their source quality, but if they're reporting on it, they must be pretty, because they don't usually get into super shaky rumor ground. So there's at least some sort of quality to the rumor. But again, I don't know who they are, so I can't say it can't go more likely because I don't know who they are. But if you remember back to the Star Wars MMO from 2003, 2004, something like that, it started out legit. It started out where it was very hard. It was very difficult to become a Jedi, and you had to go through a whole bunch of different things, and there were very, very few Jedis in the game. Very few people became Jedi because, as it should be in that kind of world, you don't become a Jedi easily. As the game progressed, the fan base wanted everything to be easy, and everybody wanted to be a Jedi, and everybody started complaining. And I can't fault the developers for this, but eventually everyone was Jedi. You couldn't walk into a saloon in any planet on the Star Wars MMO without running into 17 Jedi. So it just kind of got watered down, and then nobody wanted to play it anyway because it was too easy to become a Jedi. So when you give them what they want, they stop playing anyway. So why kowtow anyway? So translate that into a Mandalorian MMO. You're going to want everyone's going to want to become a Mandalorian. So you're going to have either you need to overpopulate your world with non-Mandalorian NPC and only have players, the real world players, be Mandalorians, or you need to make it very difficult to earn Mandalorian armor, something along the lines of, I wouldn't say necessarily like Souls level difficulty, but it should not be something that everyone can do, because then literally everyone will be Mandalorians and it's just going to water down the product. So ZeniMax, though, has done some okay stuff. Let's pull up their wiki, shall we? Just so we can, so I'm not made into a liar. ZeniMax Studios, online studios. There we go. So Elder Scrolls, Doom from the 2016 Doom, Fallout 76. Oh, that one hurts. And Commander Keen is the next one that's been announced. So Elder Scrolls Online did all right. Doom 2016 did actually quite well. It wasn't as good as Doom Eternal, but it was still quite good. And then Fallout 76 is definitely not exactly a badge of honor, but it's been fixed. Like, it's definitely playable these days. So I don't know. That could definitely be a better situation now. I haven't played 76 for some time because I didn't renew with the subscription. Anyway, so going off of this, I'm going to say they're not going to go with the difficult to become a Mandalorian in their MMO, because 76, they definitely did a whole lot of bowing to the community and, okay, here's exactly what you wanted, instead of making something quality to start with. They started with guesses on maybe this is what the community wants, and then I definitely don't think this is going to be super high quality. It could be good. It could be a Doom level good, because again, Doom 2016 was pretty good. It won't be any better than that. Star Wars, Tales of the Jedi animated. Oh, we talked about this in rumors, I believe. So this is confirmed now. Lucasfilm looks to have accidentally revealed that a new animated Star Wars series is in development with Tales of the Jedi. From the Celebration announcements. Oh, interesting. Tales of the Jedi, including Tales of the Jedi animated anthology shorts hosted by Amy Ratcliffe with special guest Dave Filoni, streamed live from Celebration stage. That's cool. Panel will be held for, yeah, so at the Star Wars Celebration. I think I might be conflating my memories of the Star Wars announced animated series. No, we did talk about Tales of the Jedi. We absolutely did talk about Tales of the Jedi. I think 2 weeks ago it was a rumor, so now it's almost confirmed. So we can bump up the rumor probability to like 90, I'm going to say 90%, just because this could be a placeholder text. This could be a number of different things. So it doesn't seem likely that it's anything other than what it appears to be, but still can't say until we get the official announcement that Tales of the Jedi is becoming an animated series that it's going to be an animated series. Ah, so this I saw when I was posting videos the other day. Melissa McBride exits Walking Dead spinoff series. I tweeted this, so if you are not following the Twitter, twitter.com... or at generally underscore nerdy, sorry. Totally brain fart. I tweeted this because Jeffrey Dean Morgan was coming to her defense. So Melissa McBride has exited the Walking Dead spinoff series, also starring Norman Reedus, that is in development AMC. So the Daryl and Carol show might just be a Daryl show. TV Line first reported the news, but has first said the decision to jettison Carol was a creative one, but now AMC rep is claiming it was about logistics. AMC released the following statement about the departure of Melissa McBride. Oof, this sucks. Like, I was super looking forward to this series, man. So, AMC, says this, quote, Melissa McBride has given life to one of the most interesting, real, human, and popular characters in the Walking Dead universe. Unfortunately, she is no longer able to participate in the previously announced spinoff focused on Daryl Dixon and Carol characters, which will be set and filmed in Europe this summer and premiere next year. Relocating to Europe became logistically untenable for Melissa at this time. We know fans will be disappointed by this news, but the Walking Dead universe continues to grow and expand in interesting ways, and we very much hope to see Carol again in the near future. Oh, so that's at least amicable. It doesn't sound like she, you know, gave him the finger and told him where to stick it or anything. Like, she can't go to Europe. Maybe she has some sort of criminal history. Who knows? That's probably not it, but it's not feasible for her to go to Europe where they're going to be filming this, so it sounds like they're just going to shift focus from the two of them to just Daryl, which is still going to be really good. I still think it kind of sucks, though, because Carol and Daryl dynamic in the show is one of the few things that took me all the way to the end, because that dynamic that developed between those two characters was so good. So continuing on, Cosmic Book says, I'm actually hoping Reedus exits as well and stars in the Ghost Rider series on Disney Plus. I don't know about that. I'm gonna hand that one off to chat if anyone wants to take it. Would you rather a Daryl Dixon series starring Norman Reedus, or would you rather a Ghost Rider series starring Norman Reedus? I would rather Daryl Dixon, not gonna lie. Anyway, Cosmic Book continues on. Walking Dead spinoff. Oh, now we're just talking about the Carol Daryl show. Worth mentioning that the cast of Walking Dead has changed throughout the years, and Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride are the only original characters left from the first season. Very true. It's also been announced that Lauren Cohen, Jeffrey Dean Morgan are getting their own spinoff series, Isle of the Dead, which follows the popular Maggie and Negan characters in a post-apocalyptic Manhattan. Yes. We've talked about both of those rather extensively on the show. Shazam! Fury of the Gods release date avoids Avatar 2. So we have a release date for Shazam. So Avatar is December 16th. Shazam is December 21st. I think Shazam's going to blow Avatar out of the water. I don't think that's really going to be a surprise either, just because, I mean, Avatar did super well. It was a $1 billion movie, sure, but like, I just don't think the hype is still there for Avatar. However, I do think the hype is still there for Shazam. So, and then we have cast pictures apparently coming out of our ears. Oops. Batwoman and Legends Tomorrow beg for renewals. No, we've already talked about that. Justin Lin exits Fast and Furious. We talked about that. And now we're at stuff that we talked about in the last episode. So let's move right along. We're going over to, I'm going to just skip We Got This Covered for this episode. Let's check out Bounding. Oops. Bounding in the comics. They usually have some pretty good stuff. Legendary Batman and Green Lantern artist Neil Adams passes. Oh, man. That's unfortunate. Neil Adams passes away at 80. Classic Batman artist. Joker's back in town. I didn't realize he did the five-way revenge. Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I knew that. Great art, man. I belt you right in the nose. See this? I just, while the character design in and of itself may not be ideal, I think that the realism in the more classic stuff from the 60s and 70s is part of what's missing from modern comics. I think also the line work is one of the big things that I miss from classics stuff. But let's see. Does it say how he passed? Passed away at the age of 80, as told the Hollywood Reporter by Adam's wife, Marilyn. The artist died on April 28th following complications resulting from sepsis. Oh, he went septic. Yikes. Life-threatening medical condition wherein one's body begins to damage itself in an effort to beat a given infection. That sucks. Huh. So yeah, let's just appreciate the artwork. For just a moment, because Neil Adams was definitely iconic comic book artist. Dead man. Like, look at this. This is just awesome. Like, I kind of... When I talk about the character design, I'm more referencing, like, slightly more exaggerated proportions, like we have closer to modern comics, but still this line work and like the amount of detail, I think, is what I really, and most people, I would say, really appreciate about these classic artist pieces. Such good stuff. All right. Let's move right along. After collapsing ratings, that's Batwoman. We've already talked about that. Ooh. Marvel Studios, we're talking about Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness featurette exposes one of Feige's biggest lies. What is Feige lying about? What have we missed? Okay, so Marvel Studios and Disney released a brand new featurette for their upcoming Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness film titled Wanda Returns featurette, and it's very clearly exposed to one of Marvel Studios boss Kevin Feige's lies. If you recall, Feige explained to Rolling Stone that Doctor Strange was cut from their Disney Plus show WandaVision because he was white and male. Yes, we remember this. We talked about it on the show. Rolling Stone's Brian Hyatt asked Feige and WandaVision writer Jack Schaefer, Wanda's story will continue in 2022's Doctor Strange Multiverse Madness, but again, the two projects were almost linked much more directly. Schaefer initially responded saying, the plan when I came on board was that there would, at the end of the series, be a handoff, and that Doctor Strange's participation would amount to essentially a short cameo. So early outlines had varying versions of the two of them, Wanda and Strange, kind of riding off into the sunset together, and it didn't feel quite right. She continued, we wanted to fulfill Wanda's agency and autonomy within within this particular story, so it did feel a little tacked on. Another problem was, Doctor Strange shows up at just the end, where was he this whole time? I did love writing variations of Doctor Strange, variations on those final beats. It was a pleasure to write for him. There were versions where she was flying past the city limits and then encountered Doctor Strange, that kind of thing, she concluded. Feige would then respond, some people might say, it would have been so cool to see Doctor Strange, but it would have taken away from Wanda, which is what we didn't want to do. He then revealed why they really cut Doctor Strange. We didn't want the end of the show to be commoditized to go to... Didn't want the end of the show to be commoditized to go to the next movie. Or, he's the white guy, let me show you how power works. That wasn't what we wanted to say. Feige then detailed, so that meant he had to reconceive... We had to reconceive how they meet in that movie. And now we have a better ending on WandaVision than we initially thought of, and a better storyline in Doctor Strange. I mean, you can have a complete story arc. You can actually make Wanda even more powerful and still introduce Doctor Strange in WandaVision. Like, you could have made her more important by having her overpower Doctor Strange at the end of WandaVision that would almost make a lot more sense and create a stronger bond between WandaVision and Multiverse. That doesn't make any sense. Feige then detailed, so that meant we already went over that. And that's usually how it works, which is to lay the chess pieces the way you want them to go in a general fashion, but always be willing and open to shifting them around to better serve each individual one. The idea that Feige didn't want to include Doctor Strange because he and Marvel didn't want the end of the show to be commoditized to go to the next movie was clearly a bald-faced lie, given Marvel Studios built its connected universe by doing just that with its films, beginning with Iron Man teasing the Avengers in the post-credit scene. Yes, 100%. Yeah, that's also true. If that wasn't enough, Feige literally promoted Disney Plus at Brazil CCXP 2019 by specifically noting they would use the shows and movies to promote each other. So it's a symbiotic relationship, you could say. Yeah. So yeah, effectively correct. I agree. Moving along. Keanu Reeves, blah. The idea for the Stan Lee explains how he came up with the idea for the X-Men. I believe that's common knowledge at this point. We need to go into that. Warner Brothers making progress on next Superman movie. We're not going to go into that. Alex Kurtzman explains what he learned from his biggest failure in 2017's The Mummy. The entire thing. Wait, how is this news now? Did Bill Burr just say something new? Because I feel like this has already been well documented. Let's dive in. We have Bill Burr on Gina Carano's firing from The Mandalorian. The liberals proved her point. They just use outrage because they don't like her politics. This is true. A little over a year since he first opened up about his former co-star's firing, comedian Bill Burr has offered his opinion that Gina Carano's firing from The Mandalorian was unfair. So this just happened. Burr spoke to Carano's firing during a recent interview with THR, given both in retrospective of his career and promotion of his upcoming Netflix stand-up special Live at Red Rocks. Huh. Interesting. I just do stuff. It seems like it's fun. If it seems like it's fun, people I'm working with trying to do something great. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. All right. So he's just saying what he's already said, effectively. He's saying it again, but he's already made it known that he didn't agree with her firing. Yeah, I feel like nobody aside from the woke folk agreed with her firing. And even then, they only did it on a superficial level. Rumor, Amber Heard's Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom screen time is less than 10 minutes. We already addressed that. G4 TV host Frosk debases herself, claims she'll... What? No. Not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. Dead by Daylight is changing a character because that's what they have to do, apparently, these days to appease the woke folk. Triangle strategy. Interesting. Triangle strategy English localization adds, removes, and dramatically alters some original Japanese dialogue. I'm not familiar with this game. English localization of Chinese triangle strategy has seemingly added, removed, and dramatically changed some lines from the original Japanese. Video game censorship and localization focused Twitter. I mean, there's a great... this is a RPG. It looks like turn-based RPG. So that's probably why I don't know it, because I don't do turn-based. But we can talk about localization real quick, because localization is a funny thing. There is a fantastic show, if you have not seen it, over on Amazon Prime. For the States. I don't know where else it's streaming elsewhere, but at least in the States. It's called Ghost Stories, and the localization for that got translated twice. And the first time was a direct translation, and apparently didn't do super well in the States. So then it got redone. I can't remember who the casting director was. Let's go look it up. The ADV Films dub was don't change the characters' names, including the ghosts. Who was the producer, though? It doesn't have him listed. Are you serious? He's apparently, like, notorious for doing stuff like this, and I can't find his name. That's unfortunate. But yeah, the second one is effectively an ad-lib. They just get voice actors to come in, and they give the script to the first actor and say, this is where you're starting, here's the episode we're doing, have fun. And then whatever he ad-libs or changes or goes with, then everyone else has to come in after the first voice actor does whatever they do, and they have to work from that. So it's totally worth a watch. There's a lot of politically incorrect humor in that you absolutely should enjoy. And if you don't, you're watching it wrong. But yeah, it's Ghost Stories on Amazon Prime. Go check it out. The English dub specifically, it's the ADV dubbed version. G4C's massive. I feel like I'm stuck 2 months ago. All of these headlines are rehashes of stuff that's from so long ago. X-Men 97 head writer hints Disney Plus series will reflect modern issues. The world is a different place than the original. Oh no, this is not great. Latest indication that the series will suffer from the same critical theory-based writing that has doomed so many productions before it. X-Men 97 head writer Bo DeMeo has suggested that the upcoming Disney Plus revival of the classic Marvel series will see a focus on today's world, quote-unquote, woven into its story. Oh, dear. DeMeo provided his hint at X-Men 97's planned direction during a recent discussion with the direct writer Russ Milheim regarding various ways in which the fan favorite incarnation of the Marvel Super Team's return to the small screen will differ from their initial outing. Before delving fully into the topic, DeMeo opened his talk with Milheim by clarifying that though he and his team planned to make changes to the show, one aspect they wanted to carry over from the original was the earnestness of its characters, particularly in how all of their emotions are on full display. Quote, for me, it made sense since I met Julia and Eric Lewald and Larry Houston, who were the creators and directors of the original series, who were literally the best people you could possibly imagine. So they are so earnest and sincere as people, said DeMeo. He added, when you watch the series, I think what we remember about is that there is such an earnestness to all of the characters. Everyone's emotions are on full display. Everyone is sincere, and it just, when you meet the Lewalds and Larry, it's just like, oh, I totally get it. To that end, DeMeo revealed to Milheim, his philosophy towards the revival's production, explaining, I think the challenge to me was honoring that earnestness, that emotional sincerity in the show where it wasn't just about the big bad of the day. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that made it successful was it was more than just villain of the week. He goes on, quote, I was almost, in some cases, an afterthought, the big bad of the day, the writer recalled. It was really about the relationship of its found family and how they cared about each other and had disagreements. Yeah. So it sounds like he understands at least the heart of the original. He further noted, and I always just come back to whenever we're talking in the writer's room or we're talking to the directors or just like we have to have earnest emotion in every scene because I really do think that that was the secret sauce of the original series. Building upon his apparent focus on emotion, when asked by Milheim how X-Men 97 may improve upon or differ from the original series, the writer asserted, I don't know if improve would be a word I would use. Good answer. I think that the show is amazing in so many different ways, DeMeo opined. I think that I think what I would say is that the generation who grew up watching that show, we have grown up and the world is a very different place than that show, than when that show was first made. And also it is more of a question, what does that show look like knowing what we know now? Oh no. Oh no. This is going, I mean, that's not in and of itself a bad thing, but this is definitely going in a bad direction, I feel like. How it looks like in today's world with everything that has changed and everything that hasn't changed, sadly, and our, oh no. That is where I believe my focus has been as a storyteller, has really been that. Oof, he concluded. Though some, and then the writer at Bounding goes on, though some may argue that Milheim's comments do not lend themselves to any specific narrative bent, the outspoken opinions of a number of the show's production team may provide some clues as to X-Men 97's future. Previously, the show's supervising director pinned a tweet to his personal account, a function which holds a given post at the top of the news. Yeah, we know what pinned tweets are. A featured message declaring, F Trump, he's still your boy, F you too. Okay. Likewise, X-Men 97 supervising producer Charlie Feldman declared in a tweet that repeated the message, Donald Trump cannot condemn white supremacists because he is a white supremacist. Unless you, you know, look at the context and see 30 seconds in either direction of the clips you've seen. Because you obviously didn't watch the whole speech, if that's your opinion. She would have also eventually take issue with the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse because, again, nobody cares to actually pay attention to the news. Taking to Twitter in the near immediate aftermath of his not guilty verdict to declare, the cynical inevitability of the Rittenhouse verdict doesn't take out the pain of what this status quo racist bull S represents. Terror it instills and the lethality it codifies. Rittenhouse is an effing murderer. Wow, because he killed two white guys in self-defense, one of which was using the N-word repeatedly, and both of which were trying to kill him. That's great. I love it when people pay attention. Feldman also publicly explained that her personal writing is filled with such tropes as grappling with gender, himbo, good boys, mom stuff, queer kids going on adventures that have zero to do with their queerness. That would not be a bad thing. Because it happens, you know, queer kids exist, so why wouldn't you just want to create stories that happen to have characters who fall into that category, but it's not all about their queerness. That totally makes sense. I don't know why that would be held against somebody. Folk myth fairy tales, Neil Gaiman probably did this better, and anxiety over the future. To this end, X-Men 97 lead showrunner Eric LaWalde has promised that the revival would not only be developed for a core audience of maybe teens on Disney Plus and adults, but also explore adult themes. Huh. We're not going to go into the... I guess this is the end of it, so we can finish it off. They're starting out with adult themes, the wall said during the November appearance in the Power of the X-Men podcast. So they're starting out with thinking of this as a bunch of adults thrown together struggling with something that they're going to show the melodrama, and we're going to show you some of the personal things that adults go through. Again, not terribly bad. Like... there is definitely a strong possibility that this is going to be annoying considering the people in charge because they're idiots from the coast, as is kind of the trend anymore. But this LaWalde guy seems to at least have a comprehension of the things that he needs to do in his capacity and also seems to... be alluding to certain changes that aren't all bad, though very probably will be pretty bad. Lightyear, don't care. Megan Fox, don't care. Alleged leaks reveal Ta-Nehisi Coates' Superman project to use Superman's alien heritage as a parallel to racism. Of course it is, because that's the only thing Ta-Nehisi Coates knows how to write. After claiming Twitter will, quote, become a hotbed for insurrectionists, unquote, actor John Leguizamo whines about losing thousands of followers. Huh, weird. That's the Twitter purge that's happening right now. Apparently has affected John Leguizamo. I really like John Leguizamo, aside from his ridiculous personal politics. I got to interview the man a couple years ago at Dink Denver, and it was a whole lot of fun. He's actually a really cool guy from the very limited amount of time I got to spend with him. But his one-man shows, again, save for the most recent one, even that one's good. It's well done. It's funny because he's funny and he's a good writer. Just the politics gets in the way. But his first two one-man shows are absolutely do not misses. If you haven't seen them, you should go find them. Sexaholics and... I don't remember the other one. Not gonna lie. Let's look that one up, shall we? John Leguizamo. John Leguizamo. Wikipedia says. I don't want IMDb. I want Wiki. John Leguizamo. One man plays. One man plays. Where is it? Sexaholics: A Love Story. That was technically the second one. Freak was the first one. Freak is not as good, but it's still worth a watch. Like, I'm not going to say don't watch it. But then, good Lord, where is it? Is that what it's called? Pimps, Hoes, Playa Haters, and All the Rest of My Hollywood Friends? That's not right. John Leguizamo filmography. Let's check this out. He's done a lot of stuff. All right, so Freak, Sexaholics, Ghetto Clown. I feel like there was a different one. Live with Kelly. Latin History for Morons. That was the most recent one. Ghetto Clown. That must have been the second one. Yeah, that has to be it. John Leguizamo's Ghetto Clown. Because I don't see... I mean, Sexaholics is probably the best one. Oh, no, I'm thinking... Never mind. Okay, so no. Freak is the first one I'm thinking of. Sexaholics is the second one I'm thinking of. Because it's... Mambo Mouth is the one that I'm thinking of that's not as great. And then Spikorama is something along the same line. Also not as good, but still worth a watch. But yeah, Freak and Sexaholics are the two that you absolutely should watch just to see why people still appreciate John Leguizamo. Like, that's what got him and Spawn and Moulin Rouge and that kind of stuff. Because he is a great actor. He's just he just needs to figure out his personal politics a little better, I think. You can disagree with certain things, but like, whoa, he's a little too woke. Anyway. James Gunn defends Chris Pratt. And now we are back to territory. Wow, that was quick. All right, so I think, yes, we are going to call that the Nerd News live stream. We did not touch on the music side of things. We will definitely, actually, no, it's going to be 2 weeks before we hear from music. So, yeah, that is what it is, I guess. So, I'm going to take a little bit of a break. Going to go fill up my oat milk and wet my palate because I'm drying out. And then we're going to play some Splitgate. We are building Lockout from the Halo series. We're building that multiplayer map in Splitgate, and that's going to be the first portion of the gaming portion of today's episode. And then we're just going to get some Splitgate and Halo rounds in. Halo Infinite Season 2 starts next week, so I will not do any of the narrative stuff until we can stream again. It looks like it is going to very likely be the minimum 2 weeks before we have a live stream, possibly 3 weeks before we have a live stream, just because I'm going to have a lot of material to edit after the Denver Star Fest. So I probably am going to take the Friday after Starfest, where we would normally stream, to edit some of that so that we can get hopefully we'll be wrapping up those edits at that point. So we are a month away from the next live stream. So I appreciate you nerds. Shout outs again to Mr. Christopher Ortiz. Thank you very much, nerd, for joining in the conversation. There were other people in chat who just apparently did not decide to interject this evening. I wish you had, but thank you either way for joining and watching the news with me. I taking a break. I'm opening the wrong window. There we go. So, gonna be taking a break. We will return, for those of you who are still in stream, we will return in just a moment after I have gotten my drink ready and game queued up, and then we will, like I said, be doing some Splitgate and Halo and maybe something else. I don't know. I've been really scratching this Halo itch a lot recently. It's not going away, so yeah, I think that's where we're going. Anyway, those of you who are leaving the news, thank you very much for joining up to this point. If you're listening in post, again, I appreciate you as well. And I'm going to be heading out now, but before we do, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here. Chat, don't go anywhere. I will be back in a couple of minutes.